Let's read together Proverbs chapter 13. Here we have another chapter filled with proverbs for everyday living. For background, let's begin with verse 24, which always stirs up a lot of discussion. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly or early. First of all, notice what the proverb does not say. It does not say, spare the rod and ruin the child. That is not a verse in the Bible, but has come down through the years from an old poem written in the 17th century. That's why we're taking up this proverb under background notes. The proverb actually says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly or early. Now remember, this is a proverb, a general truth stated in general terms. The main point of this proverb is that children must be disciplined. And if you don't discipline your children, you really don't love them. Now, children are different, and what works as discipline for one child does not necessarily work for another child. How many parents here would agree on that one, right? Okay. Listen to another proverb in Proverbs 17, verse 10. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man or a wise person than 100 blows on a fool. With some children, all it takes is a stern rebuke of discipline. And with some children, no matter how much physical punishment you use, it doesn't work. Taking the car keys away from a teenager is many times better than 100 blows for some rebellious teenagers. It makes for safer roads as well. Well, this proverb here in verse 24 allows for physical punishment, but doesn't demand it. Let's move now to our doctrinal point for this chapter, which is once again, that proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. The proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. This proverb teaches what we've just been saying about discipline. The implication here is that the wise son listens to the word of rebuke, and that's all that's needed. But the mocking son does not listen and needs stronger discipline. Verse 2, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. Once again, the contrast between the righteous and the wicked as to motives, words, and rewards. Verse 3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Be careful what you say, even in sharing times. What you say can benefit your life or be used against you. Verse 4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich or fat. You understand that fat here in some of your translations is used in a good sense. It does not mean pounds of weight, but rather abundantly satisfied. Let me ask you, do you want to be abundantly satisfied? Then you must be diligent. Lazy people have great desires, but get little because they will not work. This proverb certainly applies to Christian service, doesn't it? Work hard and be diligent, and you will be abundantly blessed. Verse 5, a righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Righteous people not only tell the truth, they hate lying. So much so that people who lie are detestable and shameful. Don't associate with people who lie. Verse 6, righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. God has built this general moral principle into his moral universe. You are more protected when you do the right thing. Wrongdoing will eventually catch up with you and bring you down. Verse 7, there is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. Now, the overall point of this proverb is don't fake your economic status like so many people do. Some poor folks like to make people think they have money. Some rich people are always complaining that they have no cash flow. The point of the proverb is, don't flaunt or fake your economic status. Verse 8, the ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor does not hear rebuke or threat. What's the meaning of this proverb? There are advantages to being poor. If you are poor, you don't have to worry about being the target of theft or ransom money. But if you're rich, you may lose your life savings to robbery or having to pay out ransom money. How many are glad you're poor? Verse 9, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Light and life go together in Scripture. The righteous burn brightly and have joy. The wicked walk in darkness. Verse 10, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You know, you will find pride somewhere behind the scenes of those who can't get along. And you will find wise counsel behind the scenes of those who exhibit pleasant and effective relationships. Verse 11, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. Now remember, this is a proverb, a general truth stated in general terms. And in general, with money, it is easy come, easy go, as in gambling, for example. How much better to save little by little with hard, honest work. Verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. This proverb has a lot of practical application. Think of the heartache of a couple in love, for example. But they have to postpone their marriage because of any number of reasons. But then think of their joy when their desire is realized. Verse 13, he who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. Our attitude towards the word of God is not only a matter of life and death, but it is a matter of life and debt, both now and later. Verse 14, the law or teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. When we follow wise teaching, which we find in the Bible, it's like turning to a living fountain. We are not only refreshed, but our lives are sustained and protected because we don't have to turn aside to false hopes. Verse 15, good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful or transgressor is hard. A person with good understanding and therefore wisdom wins favor with both God and man. But the way of the unfaithful, foolish lawbreaker is hard and does not endure. Read the newspaper for everyday examples. Verse 16, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. Once again, a point that is rightly belabored in the Proverbs. A person's conduct reveals their character. Verse 17, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. There's nothing worse than a messenger who can't communicate the right message or purposely doesn't communicate it. How much better a faithful ambassador who can communicate peace? You know, this proverb has great application for the gospel message. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Let me ask you, are we good ambassadors for Christ? Verse 18, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains or ignores correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. A person who refuses to be disciplined, including self-discipline, is on the road to poverty and shame, maybe even in prison. But a person who submits to discipline and appreciates the value of discipline is on the road to honor. Verse 19, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Fools never realize higher goals because they will not leave their evil pattern of life. Verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. You know, I remember when I was a preteen, my father used to warn me about certain boys who were part of the larger pack of boys in our neighborhood. Don't hang around with those guys, he'd say. Play baseball with the good guys. Evil company corrupts good habits. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Verse 21. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Remember, once again, this is a proverb, a general truth stated in general terms. As a proverb, it does not exclude cases like Job or Christian persecution, for example. And of course, in the end, after the final judgments, the righteous will be rewarded. Verse 23, much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for lack of justice, there is waste. The point of this proverb is that most poor people, if given protection from injustice, have no problem being productive and making ends meet. Lack of justice is the problem. So any welfare program should not just be a giveaway program so people get lazy. No, it should be a protection program so that the poor can be productive. And they will be, in general, if you take the tyrants away. Verse 25, the righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. This proverb reminds us of what the Lord promised the righteous believer in Matthew 6:33, doesn't it? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things refer to our basic needs. So once again, we've seen in Proverbs chapter 13, that Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. And that brings us to our practical application for Proverbs 13. Think of your grandchildren. Think of your grandchildren. Verse 22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. A good man, that is the righteous and wise person, wants the best for his children and grandchildren and doesn't leave it to chance. Now, in the Old Testament context, this had to do with material possessions. And the last part of the proverb seems to be a promise that if the parents wanted the best for their children and grandchildren, then God had ways of channeling even the wealth of the wicked to be used for these good purposes. Now let's think of this practical application in spiritual terms. What spiritual legacy are you passing on to your children and grandchildren? How will they remember you? Will they walk in your footsteps before the Lord? Are we setting a good example and role model? Are we communicating the faith to our offspring? Are we praying specifically for each child and grandchild? Think of your grandchildren.